Our reading will be taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, starting at verse number 23. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then, his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What you want? Why are you speaking to her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Jump down to verse 39. Many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." Amen. Now turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor with both hands, and look your neighbor square in the eye. Grab your neighbor with both hands, look your neighbor square in the eye. Grab your neighbor with both hands, look them square in the eye. Say, neighbor,
I'm
blessed
to be a blessing.
Neighbor,
I'm blessed
to be a blessing.
Amen.
You may be seated. Amen. We have entitled our message for this 11 a.m. service, "I'm blessed to be a blessing." You know, it is so important for the church to always understand, you can never put the cart before the horse. There is a sequence that things must come in and happen in order for us to recognize what God is calling us to do.
That's right.
And since we understand that, and since we are going to be applying this, we have to look at this Samaritan woman. We've looked at this before, and it's been some years, but we know that she was a woman who had some stuff going on in her life. We know for a fact that she came during the midday, hottest part of the day, to come draw water out the well on the outskirts of the city when nobody else would be there. She was coming to avoid coming in contact with anyone else. So in reality, she was hiding in plain view. And for those of you who grew up in the country, and y'all had to go draw some water, you ain't waiting till noon time to go get the water. You got that water first thing. So it says something about that in itself, because anybody who's got to carry something that's heavy would rather do it when they could be cooler rather than doing it when it's hotter. So she was inconveniencing herself so that she would not have to come in contact with anybody else. This was her daily routine, y'all. She did this every day. Went out there every day at the hottest part of the day. So that way, every time she came to the well, she was like, "Good, I know ain't nobody going to be there now. It's way too hot." But Sister Fee, something happened. on this particular day, as she's making her way to the well, Jesus had his disciples heading back to Galilee. And as they were heading back to Galilee, they normally would go around Samaria. In other words, they would normally avoid Samaria because they didn't want any association with the Samaritans. But Jesus said, we're going to go through Samaria. I want you to always to understand that the Lord always has a plan. And in order for his plan to take place, things have to happen sometimes in small pieces, which make up the whole. And that's the one thing we always got to remember. We are a small piece, but we will impact the whole. So when Jesus gets his disciples to the well right outside the city of Samaria, he sends his disciples, go on and get us something to eat. He was removing the distraction. And at this time, while Jesus is sitting there, he's a little weary. It tells us that in Scripture. All of a sudden, this Samaritan woman comes up to the well. And when she sees him, she initially sucks her teeth like, oh, God, ain't nobody supposed to be here when I'm here. And then when she draws closer, she's like, oh, I hope you don't try to say anything to me. But then by his apparel, she recognized that he was a Jew. So she says, good. Jews don't like Samaritans, so I can go over here and get all the water I want, and he ain't going to say a word. But then what happens is this. Jesus says to her, woman, give me some water to drink. Now at this point, she's a little agitated, like, all right now. She says to him, look, you a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. We normally don't talk. So in essence, she was saying to the Lord, you don't really have anything to say to me. So why are you even going to ask me for anything? I don't want to converse with you. I came at this time to avoid everybody. But I want you to understand something. I don't care how many folk you avoid. I don't care how many folk you hiding from. I want you to realize that the violent you can't hide. You can hide from me, I can hide from you. But can't none of us hide from Jesus. Oh, do I got a witness in God's house? Lord, I can make a sermon right there, but it's just a piece, y'all. I got to keep moving. Don't get me excited now. You see, so the Lord begins to inquire. He said to her, woman, if you only knew who you was talking to. Do you realize I got water that you could drink? And once you drink this water, you will never get thirsty again. And you know why that right there triggered something in her? Because she wanted to avoid people, Eugene. So that being the case, you give me some water to drink, and I won't need to drink no more. Then that means I ain't got to come to this well, and that means I can really go into some. Are you working with me? So once all this happens, she now is engaged in conversation. And then the Lord begins to tell her some things. And she gets excited. And then you know what the Lord says to her? He says to her, you want some of this? Yeah. Okay, go get your husband and come on back. See, I just got quiet. I want you to know before she said anything, she probably got a little quiet herself. You see, I want us to understand, Sister Ruby, sometimes when the Lord comes at us, he ain't going to sugarcoat it. He ain't trying to step on your toes. The Lord is going right for the heart. He wants us to make some heart decisions. He wants us to make some changes that are going to be lasting. You see, because if I hit you on your toe, it might hurt for a minute, Matasha, but I want you to know you put some ice on it and it'll feel a little better. You see, the Lord ain't trying to hit toes. He's going right for the heart. Now, when he goes and makes this attempt to go to the heart, this woman has an opportunity to do one or two things. Lie. Or tell it like it is. And when you're telling it like it is, you're telling the truth. The one thing the Lord wants from all of us, Bria, is the truth. But it's left up to us to want to give him the truth. But the one thing I want us to know, he will not pull the truth out of you. He will give you a choice on whether you are going to tell the truth. You see, sometimes we done lied to so many folk for so long that we feel that we can get away with them same lies to the Lord. And then we wonder why in our lives it seems like all hell is breaking loose. It seems like everything we want to come out right come out wrong. Why? Because we haven't learned how to tell the Lord the truth. He already knows it, but he wants to hear it come out of our mouth. And what comes out of the mouth is what's already in the heart. So now this woman is challenged. And through this challenge, she says, I don't have a husband. The Lord said, good. You decide to tell me the truth. Because you done had five of them. And right now you're shacking with one. So I appreciate you telling me the truth. You know, think about this. She told him the truth. Which means that her life in so many ways was a mess. And in so many ways, can I give you this analogy to help you understand?
All right.
I want you to understand that, Deacon Booth, you remember when Angel was a little girl? She'd go outside and get all dirty. Right? But you now came home for lunch. And you got on your tight outfit. That business attire. An angel who was just outside running around playing and making mud pies. She is a muddy mess. And she runs to try to give you a hug. You throw that arm up, baby, back up. You see, I'm clean and you are. And since I'm clean, I ain't trying to get your. But when it comes to the Lord, this woman was dirty. Dirty in sin, just like all of us have been dirty in sin. But no matter how dirty she was, the Lord is clean. Y'all know that, right? He is spotless. He had no wrinkle. He had no sin in his life. But when the woman was willing to tell him the truth, he took her just as dirty. Oh, somebody gonna work with me. And embraced her with all the dirt that she had and still said, I love you. You see, you don't always got to say the words, I love you. Your actions already say it. So he proceeded to tell her the truth about the blessings and then how she was caught up and that we're supposed to worship the Lord on this mountain. And then the Lord said, let me help you understand something. You don't just worship the Lord on a mountain. We don't just worship the Lord in Jerusalem. God is a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, and that's just what Jesus is telling her, is that I don't care wherever you find yourself, you can worship the Lord, because the Lord is a spirit. He can be any and anywhere, any and everywhere he wants to be. And you know what that tells us? That even when you are in your car, if the moment hits you and you want to praise God, you can worship him in your car, in your bathroom, on your job, in the supermarket, at Walmart, at Target, at the mall. I don't care where you find yourself. You can worship the Lord because he is a spirit and his spirit can be anywhere you are. And the other thing you got to understand, if you're going to truly worship the Lord, you must worship him through truth. Ain't nothing wrong with saying, Lord, I ain't all that I ought to be. I still struggle in this area. But Lord, I give you my glory, the honor, and the praise. I know I didn't dot all my I's. I know I ain't cross all my T's. But Lord, I'm coming to you just the way I am to worship and praise you, to magnify your holy name. Does anybody in here know what I'm talking about? Because ain't nobody perfect in here, but we can still worship and praise God, because he has been and he is mighty good to us. Do I got a witness in God's house? Don't you know? When girlfriend heard all this, you know what she started saying? Me being as dirty as I am, me being a person who's trying to avoid folk, me who is trying to hide from everybody, what the Lord is telling me, it's time to come out. You see, I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's time. Give him a high five right now. You see, it's time, my brother. It's time, my sisters. I know you ain't all that you want to be, but thank God you're not what you used to be. I know you still got some struggles. I know you ain't perfect. Guess what? Neither am I. But we serve a perfect God who's working on us each and every day. Sister Sarah, I know we ain't got it all together, but we can still praise him. We can still thank him. And that's what the Lord wants us to know. And when you're able to do that, guess what?
Yeah.
Then you can say,
amen.
I'm blessed.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
You see it? Yes, you ain't got to be perfect to be blessed. This woman was far from perfect, but the Lord blessed her. Do you see it? You know, once she confessed me, once she told him the truth, he could have said, woman, get away from me. You're just too dirty for me to touch. He could have very easily said, you're too dirty. You know, he could have did like Deacon Booth might have done when Angel was a baby. Back up, man. I got to go back to work. I know you ain't doing my pies too tall. Are you working with me? But it don't matter how dirty we are. When we're able to come to the Lord and bring him the truth. Sister Rossi, when we bring the Lord the truth, the Lord can do a marvelous thing with us. When we bring the Lord the truth, don't you know he sees past all of our faults and he identifies our need. He meets us right where we are in the midst of all that we're going through, in the midst of all that we've done. The Lord still says, I got a word for you that's going to heal and deliver you. And when you understand how the Lord heals and delivers you, you can't help but get excited. That's why you all of a sudden start shouting yourself. That's when you start thanking the Lord. Some folk look at you and think you've lost your mind sometimes, but they just don't know how the Lord took you from a nothing and done something with you. They just don't know how he turned you around. They just don't know how he healed your body. They just don't know how he blessed your family. They just don't know how he provided for y'all. Am I talking to somebody right now? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, we serve a mighty God. Thank you, Lord. You see? When you know I'm blessed in the midst of my mess, I just can't keep it. You see, I got to touch on this. And I'm going to hit it real quick and keep moving. You see, while Jesus was conversing with this heathenous woman, how some would consider her. You see, because I want you to know that she did have some labels on her. The folk in the city had already put all kinds of labels on her. That's why she was trying to avoid everybody. Because every time she would walk by, I want you to know, Angel, they would whisper, here come that woman be mad at 5 men. And she's shagging right now. Thank God that none of us in here do that about other folk today. We don't see other folk who done been through hell and high water. Some of them still might be hanging out in the muddy places. And anytime we see them, thank God we don't walk around and start whispering whenever they come around. But the disciples have now come back and they got food and looking at Jesus talking to her, a Samaritan. Oh, Reverend Rose, I can see them brothers wanting to interrupt him. But they understood that the Lord was at work. And whenever the Lord is at work, the dumbest thing any of us can do is try to stop the Lord being about his work. You see, when our Father's about his business and he is blessing folk in the church, sometimes we just got to step back and just praise God for what he's doing. You see, because you just don't know somebody else's story. You just don't know what they are going through. You just don't know what the Lord brought them through. And now that they're praising God, somebody said, I don't know why they're praising God. I just saw them drunk last night. Oh, hallelujah. God can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. And that's what he did right here with this woman. God did what he wanted, when he wanted, and how he wanted. And when the disciples saw that the Lord was at work, they realized that it wasn't time for us to talk. It was time for us to stand here and be quiet and let the Lord be about his business. Because the Son came in order to do the work of the Father. And if we try to interrupt that, I don't know what's going to happen to me. And I ain't stupid enough to try to challenge it. So I'm going to stand back and let the Lord be who he is. And that's God all by himself. You see, I want you to realize when we see somebody who might be coming in this church who has been through some stuff and is going through some stuff, and then they finally come saying, what must I do to be saved? There are some folk who will look at that and say, I don't know why they're in our church. There'll be other folk who will start praising God. You know why they start praising God? Because they realize that, you know what? You see me for what I am right now, but I ain't always look like this. I ain't always talk like this. And it was nobody but the grace and mercy of God who brought me to where I am right now. You see, that's how come whenever we see the folk come to the Lord, the people of God ought to start shouting. So once this woman has done what she did by conversing with Jesus, once the disciples came, her and Jesus' conversation was over. But I want you to realize something. While that woman was standing there talking with Jesus, don't you know all the labels that folk had put on her? Don't you know that they all of a sudden just started falling off? All right. All the stuff that folk were saying about her, that she was internalizing, the Lord just removed it all from her. All the stuff they were trying to keep her down with, the Lord moved out the way. All the barriers she built up in herself because of how others have treated her, the Lord knocked down all the walls. And when she realized the Lord had done a new thing in her, that she was not the same person, she realized something, y'all. You know what she realized? I can't keep it
to myself.
I am blessed. And since I am blessed, I got to go back to the city and share with folk in the city. She left her water jug, y'all, ran back to the city. And when she got there, somebody who was always avoiding folk, somebody who was always hiding from folk, has said, this is her coming out party. She was being an evangelist for Jesus and said, come see a man who told me everything. And then she said, y'all better come and see. Now, I know they were looking at her like she's crazy. Because of the fact that they all knew her history. Everybody in town knew about her. You know how there are some folk, Deacon Bell, some folk, everybody know everything about her. But I want you to realize she ain't care about what they knew. Because you know what she said? That's what I was. But look at me right now. I've been touched by the hand of the master. I've been healed and delivered by the master. I am blessed by the master. So y'all need to come and see, because he told me everything about myself. Not to tear me down, but to build me up. To let me know I am somebody. You call me a nobody, but I am somebody. So come and see a man who told me everything. Don't you know that them folk in the city, some folk initially just looked at her, kept walking. But then there were other folk who stopped, looked at her, and were saying, wait a minute, there's something different about her. She ain't never opened her mouth before. She ain't never been excited about talking to anybody before. She ain't never smiled at nobody before. She ain't never shouted out in public before. I got to go see what in the world has touched her. Because I don't know what it is, but I am being nosy right now. Not inquisitive, straight up nosy. I want to see what has happened to her. And I want to see what is going on with her. You see, I want you to understand, the Lord has a way of meeting us where we are. The Lord got to meet us sometimes in our nosy in order to get us to come to church. It doesn't matter how the Lord does it, but he will always meet us right where we are in order to take us to where he wants us to be. So I want you to know, some folk came because they were nosy. You see, but I want you to understand that they might have been nosy. But herself, she realized what God had done.
Yes.
And she realized that the Lord had her go back to the same folk that had threw labels on her. Not to rub their faces in it, but to let them know that the love of God is so great. The love of God is so great on me and in me that I can't hate on you. I've got to love you. And when I know how blessed I am because I've had an encounter with the Lord, I realize that I want you to have that same encounter because the Lord has been mighty good to me. And since he's been mighty good to me, I want you to know he wants to be mighty good to you too. And don't you know that some came from the city based on the woman's testimony? And you know what? And that's where we jump down to verse 39 to 43. Because what you see in 39 to 42 is that you see that the Lord is showing us something. That when folk first come to the Lord, they come based on what you see. I'm going to let that sink in. It ain't that you said anything bad. You just sharing what the Lord did to you. What the Lord did for you. You see, we need to have more folk giving a testimony rather than folk just standing up just telling a whole bunch of lies. Lies ain't gonna change folk. Testimony changed lies. And when you know that the Lord has done something which truly was unadulterated and nobody else could do it, that's when you ought to open up your mouth and say, I serve a mighty good God. He took me from a nothing and made something with me. I want you to know if he can do that for me, don't you know he can do it? So come and see a man who told me all. You see, this woman was the one. Point at your neighbor and say, yeah, you.
Yeah.
You're the one. Through the Lord, check this out now. You got to see how awesome this is. Right. The Lord talked to one lady who he met on the outskirts of the city, which is also paralleling what her life was like. She was in the city, but she was on the outside. So the Lord took one from the outside and brought them to the in order to make some changes. Because everybody who was on the inside, guess what now? They had a truncated religion. What do I mean? They cut off the whole Bible except for the first five books. The Pentateuch. They only believed in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the law. They would not read nothing else, didn't want nothing else, because they said that, you know, because of the fact that they were at odds with the Jews. So since they were at odds with the Jews, they realized we need God, but we don't need all your books. So as long as we got the law, that's all we need. So in so many ways, they have truncated their religion. They had minimized the impact that God could have on their lives because they only accepted the first few and wouldn't accept nothing else. Just like this woman who had been married five times and is now shacking up. Don't you know that they as a society had already dismissed her because she didn't fit the mold? So they had cut her off just like they cut off all the other books of the Bible. You see, what about us today? We say we love God. We say he's the head of our lives. He is our all in all. He is the wheel in the center of the wheel. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. He is our all in all. He is all that. How come I don't only see you on Sunday morning?
All right.
Sister Pat, I'm hearing some crickets. It's a new day in 2016. We are not going to just be Sunday morning Christians. Because if all you're going to be is a Sunday morning Christian, then you are truncating what God can do in your life. See, now everybody ain't happy now. I ain't trying to beat nobody up. I'm just trying to tell you. You know what it would be like? Can I go on and just break it down to you like this?
Break it down.
All right. I invited you over for dinner.
Uh-huh.
Okay? All right. We have corned beef and corned beef, collard greens, candy yams, tater salad, homemade rolls, little fried chicken, some cake, and a salad. You come over to dinner. You smell and see all that stuff, but all I give you is some salad. And then I say, was it good? And you know what you say? Yeah, expecting to think you're going to get everything else. I was like, good. Deacon Jones, I said, good. That was your meal. And the first thing you're going to say is, bro, how you truncate just giving me one thing when you got all that?
So much more.
Whether we know it or not, that's in many cases what we do with God. We take the salad God gives us on Sunday. And then we don't come and get nothing else the rest of the week. We don't get the whole meal. We just get the Sunday morning meal. The preached word should empower the people of God. The preached word should move in the people of God. But the preached word should excite the people of God to move forward and say, I want more. You know how when you met that? Digging Aletheia. Remember when you met Brother Kern? Oh, come on, work with me now. They know I love them, so I ain't got to worry about it. I ain't got to worry about it because, you know, I ain't putting nobody business out there. No. But they've been married 52 years. So I think I can mess with them for a minute. You know, when they first met each other, there was something about Aletheia that Kearney saw. And he said, I don't just want the salad. I want a little bit. And then he did the Beyonce song. Guess what he did? He put a ring on it. 52 years later. Come on, now work with me. If he ain't putting a ring on it, he wouldn't have been able to know all the benefits. Come on, now work with me. And that was even before the ring song. See, I ain't trying to say it because I'd mess up the words. What I'm saying to us in 2016, you ought to want more.
Amen.
Not because I'm saying it right now. It's because you have a desire to want to know more about the God you serve. And to realize that I am blessed to be a blessing.
All right.
And the best way that you're going to be a blessing is that you must first know that I'm blessed. You see, we have to understand we will never put the cart before you can get somebody else to run with you. You ought to first be running. Now, I know your knees are bad. I'm speaking metaphorically. Are you working with me? You have to be on the move before you can help somebody else. Because if all you got is the car, you got something you can put stuff on.
Yeah.
But you ain't going.
Nowhere.
You see it? See, the Lord, I know it ain't got. We don't win. But this is the teaching, not for the sole purpose. I want you. Follow me? Mm-hmm. To gain all the benefits that God has for you. Because I know I ain't all that. God is. And when I look at what God did with this old big head dude you looking at up here, if you had known me, don't matter, but if you had known me back when, and then my name popped up to be to come the pastor of this church, you would have said, caught yourself, oh no, not him. Because you would have been looking at what I had that was dirty rather than looking at how God has made me clean. But that is the reality of life. But what we have to learn how to do is this. You see, the Lord sent this woman back to the same folk that labeled her. The Lord wants to send you back to the same folk that knew you back when you was a certain way. But you, whenever you see them folk, you always avoid talking about Jesus. Because every now and then when they pluck your nerve, you call them anything but a child of God. And now you don't know how to bridge the gap that you even created yourself. But what the Lord is saying, it's time to go back. Look at the neighbor and say, go back. It's time to go back and let them folk know. Yes, I might not be a perfect person, but I serve a perfect God. I am a work in progress, but the Lord is taking me a mighty long way, and he wants to do the same with you. Because he loves you. And you know how he loves you? Just the way you are. I want you to know that this young lady who was at the well with Jesus is not the only person that he embraced when they were dirty. Because you can go and look at the prodigal son in Luke. We see that the prodigal son left, did his stuff, found himself in the pig pen, hanging out with pigs. And then he came to himself. He left, check this out, he left that pig pen and headed home. And when he got home, y'all, the father saw him from a distance. The brother was covered in pig stuff, stinking, smelling like pigs. But when the father saw him, he came running, hugged him, kissed him, put the ring on his finger, put a robe around him, and said, you are my son. The Lord is used to seeing us at our dirtiest. Because when you meet the Lord, he's going to clean on somebody. He's going to clean us up. So you can't get too dirty in order for God to not be able to clean you. I'm blessed. Oh, y'all all ain't saved. Do I need to preach 5 more minutes? I'll try it one more time. I'm blessed.
To be a blessing.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Now, if you're going to truly be that, you can't truncate your relationship with God. Your relationship with God's got to be real. And it can't be contained to Sunday morning. There's more to it than a Sunday morning prayer. So I encourage you all. You want to see how far we can go?
All right.
It all depends on you. Amen. How far are you willing to go? Because the Lord has something great in store for BRBC.
Amen.
He's going to do it.
Thank you, Lord.
With or without you.
Thank you, Lord.
But he's going to do it.
Amen.
And he would love for you to be a part of all that he's doing.
Yeah.
And in order for that to happen, you have to stop truncating your relationship. Expand it and do as much with it as you possibly can. And watch and see what the Lord will do.
Amen.
Sister Rhodes, he took us from nothing.
Yes.
He made us into something.
Yes.
To where we know for a fact that, Sister Penn, when we come up in church,
yeah,
I don't care what they say about me. I got to tell how good God is.
Yeah.
I ain't going to sit and shut up because the Lord has brought me too far in order for me to turn back now. And I will not let you throw a label on me because I tripped along the way. Because when I confess my sins, he was faithful and just. Forgive me of all unrighteousness. So I know I'm back in the right relationship field. So I'm going to praise his holy name. Is there anybody here not ashamed to praise him? Anybody want to praise him for a minute? Because I know I'm blessed. I'm going to be a blessing. Can somebody thank him? Can somebody praise him? Somebody ought to put their head back and say, hallelujah. I'm blessed.